Okay, great. Thank you so much for this great opportunity. Thank you very much, John, for trusting me. This is a bit dangerous. You hardly know me. But it is a delight to be here and to be able to share about the persecuted church. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Interesting. And I thought about my own experiences of persecution. Very few and far between, I'm afraid. One of my university friends, when I told him I'd become a Christian, he said, "Oh, not you." That wasn't a very good start. My mother wasn't best pleased. "Oh, I do hate these people who wear their religion on their sleeve." I'm very glad to say that she changed her mind later on. Bless her. I remember meeting a parent of some children that I was reaching out to once, and he was really furious with me for sort of corrupting his children, and that hurt. But apart from that, very, very little. But there are some people who are really struggling, part of our family in Christ, and we belong to a global family, remember? And we're told to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Now, there was a young man called Brother Andrew who, about 60 years ago, felt a burning concern for people behind what was called the Iron Curtain in those days, that there was a church there that desperately needed the scriptures, and he used to fill his little VW Beetle with these scriptures, hide them in the doors, I think, and he would take enormous risks smuggling Bibles, praying that he would get through every time, relying totally on the Lord. He completely put his life on the line, and out of that initial ministry grew the ministry of Open Doors. So if we can have the first slide, please. Open Doors has been going for 60 years, and it has a vision that every Christian in our nation should be praying for, providing for, and speaking out for their persecuted family. Because this is something that affects all of us. And next slide, please. Of course, Open Doors isn't the only charity supporting persecuted Christmas. There's Barnabas Fund, Release International, and Christian Solidarity Worldwide, and there may be others, I'm not sure. You probably know of some. All have the same kind of vision. Next slide, please, Sam. Now, Open Doors is active in more than 60 countries, and just as Brother Andrew, they supply Bibles to the church. They give leadership and training to the church. There's a seminar they do called Standing Strong in the Storm, which helps Christians how to deal with persecution. In some cases, in places like North Korea, and where there's starvation and all sorts of things, they provide food. They smuggle food in at great danger. And so they do all these things to support the Christians who are persecuted for their faith. And of course, they want to stir us up to support the work. It's very important that we should be informed about what's happening. They produce a magazine, comes out regularly, and you have some really moving stories in here from all different parts of the world. You know, when you start reading them, it really awakens you to some of the enormous problems that people face. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, next slide please, Sam. Paul writing to the Corinthians, he's been speaking about God being the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And then he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. And so he's describing the sense of almost despair that he and his co-workers were going through at various points in their ministry. And he wanted the Corinthian church to know about it, because he knew that if they knew and if they prayed, it would make a big difference. So Open Doors is there to inform people. Next slide, please, Sam. And in January this year, they produced their annual World Watch List here. They bring it out every year of the 50 countries where it's hardest to be a Christian. They produce this and they take it to the Houses of Parliament. MPs are invited by their constituents to the meeting where they can receive one of these World Watch lists. It's very important that not only Christians be informed, but people in authority. Because, of course, governments can put pressure on other governments to change things in other nations. So it's very, very important. And that's something that the Open Doors do, and they need the prayers of God's people to support them. Next slide, please, Sam. North Korea has been number one on that list since 2002. That's 15 years. It's the worst place on earth, the hardest place to be a Christian. And a few facts there. Kim Jong-un is the leader. His family has been around quite a long time and they're almost worshipped like gods. So if you dare to say there's a higher authority, you are really in trouble. Out of a country of 25.4 million, they reckon there could be 300,000 Christians, but it's very difficult to say. Because some tens of thousands are held in labour camps, horrific places. Often families are pulled apart, separated, suffering. And thousands of Christians hold their faith in complete secret. They don't even teach their children about the Lord, because if their children might tell a friend at school. And they have a kind of neighbourhood watch in the area, in every village, where someone reports on people. So you have to be extremely careful, because if your faith is exposed, you're in very, very deep trouble. But on top of that, for North Korea, the whole population is suffering a great famine. It's been doing that for a long time, and Christians are particularly vulnerable. So this is a real, a really difficult place to be a Christian. So if we go on to the next slide, I think that's a repeat of that scripture. If we go on to the next slide, please, Sam, after that. Paul goes on to say that this happened, that the troubles, the struggles that they were going through, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, so that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Paul was very conscious of the vital, the importance of prayer. for those, for himself and others who are suffering, and the great effect and blessing it is when we pray for the persecuted church. Some of those people in those camps are enduring such suffering, and yet they stand firm. There's a lovely story about some Christians in North Korea. Let me read it to you. But let me read this first. Open Doors work in North Korea is becoming increasingly dangerous. When our underground workers smuggle food and Bibles into North Korea, or even if they care for North Koreans who have escaped to China, they risk kidnap and assassination. Just last year, a church leader in China was brutally murdered by North Korean spies for providing food and other aid for North Korean refugees. But our courageous underground church workers were willing to risk everything to reach these faithful believers with vital aid, spiritual support, and the assurance that they are not forgotten by God or by us. Is it worth the risk? I'd like to tell you one family story that shows that it is, how precious your support and prayers are. When the faith of this Christian family in North Korea was discovered, they were forced to work as slaves for years. They told us, "We thought God had forgotten us. How else could he have allowed us to suffer so much?" But miraculously, they were released, and local Christians, supported by Open Doors, have helped them resettle. The family told us, "We just found out that God has mobilized Christians outside this country to pray for us and help us financially. We are astonished that God loves us so much that he uses brothers and sisters we don't know to support us. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts." And it is really wonderful what is happening and how God's people are being supported and helped in when they're going through such difficult times. So North Korea is a situation that we really, really need to pray for and continue to pray for. And you'll have on your seats, you should have one of these. If you haven't got access to one, there might be some extras lying about. But it shows some of the prayer points for North Korea. This is produced every month. It's like a prayer diary. And for instance, it mentions on the 2nd of February, leader Kim Jong-un continues to consolidate his power of the nation. Pray that he would come to know the one true God, and pray for a positive change within the regime. And I guess the Christians in South Korea are probably, that's very much on their hearts. So that's something we need to pray for. And then on the 6th of February it says, pray for the unknown heroes, people whose names we don't know, but who suffer for their refusal to deny Christ. Ask God to give them the strength to endure, and pray that God will use their testimony to transform the hearts of their guards and fellow prisoners. So I think we might have perhaps got the picture of a little bit of North Korea and the enormous struggle that people are going through. And even those who are not incarcerated, the fear they must live under, that one day their neighbours are going to discover that they're Christians and they're really in trouble. So North Korea is somewhere we really need to very much focus our prayers on. And also, I'd just like to mention this other leaflet, because we're going to... this is Pray for the Middle East, which is another area for Syria and Iraq. Because this is another area. Could you, next slide, please. I'd like us just to think about tonight. As we know, Christians in Syria had been targeted by the so-called Islamic State. 6 million refugees have fled from the civil war, but they're still Christians in Syria. They very much need our support, and also in Iraq. IS has forced thousands of Christians to flee their homes. And some places that have been liberated, people are longing to go back to Iraq. But it's all very, very difficult for these two nations. And this little leaflet here encourages us to pray for the people affected, for the people, for the pastors, and for the politicians. Well, prayer is a mighty weapon, but we can also make other kind of responses to this great need. And could we have the next slide, please? This one, yep, well done. There's a petition entitled 1 Million Voices of Hope. And it'd be wonderful if we could sign that. It's going to be presented in June to the General Secretary General of the United Nations by an Open Doors team. And these petitions actually do make quite an effect, have quite a good effect on people in power. And next slide, please, Sam. And it also will go to our government as well. We call upon our own government and the United Nations to ensure that Christians and other minorities in Syria and Iraq enjoy the right to equal citizenship, dignified living conditions, and prominent role in reconciling and rebuilding society. So there's a petition, and I've put some out on the back there if you'd like to sign them before you go. You don't have to put your details. You just need a signature and your name. If you want to receive emails from Open Doors, you can put your email address. Or you can even get, if you give your mailing address, you can get a wristband to remind you to pray. But if you just sign your name and put your name on it, that would be fine. Something else we can do, a challenge for Lent. It's called fast food. And you'll see it's mentioned at the back of this little prayer diary. And you can... it's like 8 meals, I think, from Shrove Tuesday to Easter Sunday, as it says on there, and a different meal each week. It might be a very small pot of rice if it's North Korea you're praying about, and but something different for each, and you can do it as a family. You can invite your friends. You share a meal. You hear stories of the persecuted church, and then there is a challenge for each meal, which is unknown until you open it. So we don't exactly know what the challenges are, but they all are all doable. So if you want to do that as a family, or if you want to do it in groups or with friends, you can contact Open Doors. It's on the back there. And you can order that. That's quite a good response, and it will inform you more about the persecuted church. And so that could be very helpful. Next slide, please. This is quite a challenging scripture. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. This is a challenge for us to actually really speak out and act. Next slide, please. This is an enormous challenge that has come to me since I've been in Brixham. I've been riding my bicycle around the hills and doing things, and my neighbour said to me once, are you training for something? And then in one of the Open Doors magazines, I read about this Muscathlon, where you join others from other nations and you visit the country and you visit persecuted Christians, and you can either run a marathon or a half marathon, or you can go on a long hike, or you can ride 75 miles on a mountain bike. And I felt enormously challenged about that. When I mentioned it to Christine, she wasn't very happy about it. So I'm not asking her to do it, but she didn't really want me to go. So I had to pray about that. And then in the new year, we had that sermon, I Believe I Can Fly. Do you remember that one? And Mark Goodyear reminded us, you are not alone, God is with us, you will not crash or burn, God is in control. So that was another strong urge for me to do something. And then I spoke to Christine again, and she realised I wouldn't be away for that long. The reason I thought of Sri Lanka, next one, Lisa, is because we are very close to a family in Nottingham from Sri Lanka who are actually asylum seekers here. And when I realised that they were doing this in Sri Lanka, that really got me thinking. And I talked to Open Doors about it and got some information, and I talked to the man who's organising the actual marathon, etc. And he seemed to think that the kind of training I've done so far might, you know, he sounds as if you're fairly fit, he was saying. I shall have to do a lot more. It's enormously challenging. But when I actually, the day I actually registered, made a decision to do it, I mistakenly called someone from Sri Lanka on my phone, a friend of ours, but I wasn't intending to phone her up at all, and she phoned me back. And then I spoke to another friend in London about something completely different, and he said, oh, by the way, our pastor's in Sri Lanka at doing some Bible training. And I thought, what has, you know, all this, you know, Sri Lanka, Sri Lanka, Sri Lanka. All on the day I was about to register, I thought, okay, Lord, that's enough. So I felt really convinced that this is the Lord's will for me, even though it seems a bit off the wall. But to raise money is a huge challenge. It's like sometimes we have to put ourselves on the line, don't we? If God shows us something, I think as long as we know God it's really God telling us, it's all right. It's not so bad. If you really know God has said you must do this, then it's going to be with you, and you don't feel nervous about it. So I actually don't feel nervous about it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I really do believe it's the Lord's will. But it's like you almost have to somehow demonstrate that this is such a serious matter. You've got to lay yourself on the line somehow. And that's why I feel it's important to do it. So pray for me. And if you can sponsor me, I'm not quite sure how that will work yet. But I'm going for it. And so it's in October. So it's... Huh? Oh, I'm going to cycle. I couldn't run. I could never run. Got the exercise bike in our porch that I'm using at the moment. I actually find that when you're training, that if you fix your mind on something completely different, it makes it a lot easier. And actually, I find that some of the time I deliberately focus on the persecuted church, and it actually means that it makes the ride a lot easier. And I sort of feel I'm entering into just a little bit of what they're going through. It's nothing really. I mean, a bit of training is nothing. But pray for me. But and pray that maybe this be a catalyst. And I was really encouraged because Claire said on last Wednesday, before she knew I was talking about Open Doors, she said, "Oh, I've got the information about from Open Doors," which is really encouraging, another confirmation. And I know that there are other Open Doors supporters. I know Marion supports it, and Richard and Rebecca, a new couple, they support Open Doors. And so there are probably quite a few people who have a connection, or with other groups. So, please, there's more information at the back there to take if you want to. There's magazines, more about Open Doors if you'd like some. Please take anything that's on the chair that you want to take home. Sign a petition if you'd like to. And perhaps we should just close with prayer. Is that a good thing? Yeah. Okay. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be part of your amazing family. And Lord, we do worship you that you are building your church. And that the church in places like North Korea is very strong in faith, and see you daily preserving them and helping them in all sorts of circumstances. And we do thank you, Lord, that for the expression, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And we do know that the church itself was born in persecution, and it is still expanding across our world today. Lord, we worship you. We thank you that you are faithful, that you are building your church, just as you said, the gates of hell are not prevailing against your church, Lord. And we give you praise and glory, and we pray you'll continue to build your church, Lord. And we thank you for the great privilege of being part of it, Lord. And we pray that you will continually remind us of our brothers and sisters. Lord, may they be on our hearts continually. And we thank you that we can share in prayer for them, and that our prayers do actually make a huge difference to them, Lord. So show us the way ahead, Lord. Lead us each one as to our response to this great need. And so may you part us with your blessing, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.